Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Der.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hills, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the Baywatch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Let's get into it, guys. Let me have it.
All right. So this is an article that I found that is produced by E! Online.
Love E! Online.
It's by Natalie Finn. And she basically took the time to take like some, well, it's called 30 Bonkers Secrets About Baywatch.
30 Bonker Baywatch Secrets. Love alliterations.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason she's a professional writer and we're not. So she,
I beg to differ.
I guess the word professional is real loose in our case.
Beg to differ.
So she kind of took time to peruse like lots of different actual publications and cite actual interviews and actual articles in which these things were found. So they're all verifiable facts. And some of them.
She's a huge Baywatch fan.
Are really interesting. And you may be thinking to yourself right now, there's no possible way I'd be interested in this. Just, no. You know what? I promise. Just trust me. I'm not like other girls.
So we just think this was so cool because we didn't know some of these things. So let's dive into it. So lay it on me. Tell me these Baywatch secrets. Stop. Don't. We already have taken so many cuts because Cadence has been like so inappropriately gross and we're brother and sister and we have the... We are brothers and sisters, but we are friends. So sometimes we say things that are, like you would say, like inappropriate to a friend and we forget.
Okay, let me just also say, we haven't released, well, I don't know if you'll hear this by now, but Colin asked me if I wanted to play Leaky Submarine and plug his holes.
No. I did not ask you specifically if you wanted to do that. I said, I like to play Leaky Submarine. And she's like, what's that? And I was like, where you plug all my holes. This is a joke. It's a joke. But I did not like where you plug all my holes.
But you were staring.
But I did stare right in her eyes when I said it.
You made eye contact with me the whole time.
I bombed. And then as soon as I did it, I was like, oh my God, that's so weird. Because I was excited for you to laugh at the joke. But I did stare directly into your eyes and then said, plug all my holes.
But I casually drop a line about slapping you today and all of a sudden I'm the freak.
You're so gross. It's disgusting. Okay.
I think you're projecting a little bit, but whatever. We'll get started. The original idea for Baywatch came from Greg Bonin, who, if you've watched Baywatch as many times as we have, you've seen that name in the credits repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And what happened was he was a real life lifeguard in L.A., in 1970.
Wow, okay.
Now, here's where it gets interesting, because he was fellow lifeguards with...
Mitch Buchanan.
The one and only Noomi.
Noomster. Noomi, yes.
Was a real lifeguard. Yes. Michael Newman.
I knew that because we did a little research on him before. You guys, Noomi only made a couple of appearances in...
Baywatch Hawaii.
Baywatch Hawaii and the movie. He'll be in Thunder Glacier Bay.
Yeah, but he was more in the LA season.
Yeah, he's kind of just come and go, but we did know that he was a real life. That's so cool.
Yeah, so he was friends with Michael Newman. And they were hanging out and he was like, listen, I think it would be great to have a television show about... all of our rescues, and if we can make it like Chips but for the ocean, it would be a super exciting show about lifeguarding. So he,
wow,
that
never
early on,
never truer words have been spoken.
But here's the thing, that was 1970, so he pitched the show for 10 years while still working as a part-time lifeguard.
Determination. I like that. I respect that.
So he was it was not a one-hit wonder.
No.
He had to work his little shorts off.
Little red shorts. That's really cool, though, actually. It came from, like, I guess you could say it's, like, based on a true story. Like, based on actual events.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. No. There was also a... how do I explain this in a very concise way?
What are you trying to say, girl? Get out.
I'm trying to make it concise because it's kind of lots of information in one. But essentially, they couldn't quite figure out how to market it. Mm-hmm. They couldn't quite figure out like what they wanted it to be about. And so originally, NBC was like, okay, you can make a made-for-TV movie that will, if people like it, it will serve as the pilot for the whole series. And at that point, they still couldn't quite nail down what the like the tone of it would be. And so
I think they're still struggling with that.
Right.
Up until the end, they were kind of struggling with that.
They intended to make it originally a show about day-to-day adventures in lifeguarding,
which is,
right?
Again, riveting too much.
However, okay. NBC wanted a murder mystery with lifeguards that were solving crimes that washed up on their beach.
Makes total sense.
Right? And then someone else wanted a Hill Street Blues on the water type of vibe.
I don't know what Hill Street Blues is.
So then they ended up with a firefighter, a cop, doctor, rescue procedural all in one.
Wow. Okay. They just went full ambitious. They couldn't decide. So they just went all. That's why every episode consists
so
of 100 different plot holes.
Yep.
I mean, you plots, have not holes, but also plot holes.
Nothing has holes in Baywatch wise. It's full.
It's full.
No one plays Leaky Submarine with Baywatch's script.
Nobody, not one person.
And I think it makes more sense now if you think about it, because we always talk about the writer's room and how we would want to be a fly on the wall. But I think what's happening is you have one group of people writing a medical drama, one group of people doing a crime drama, one group of people doing a rescue drama, and then they just mush up all the scripts together.
And one person doing a slow motion montage writing.
That's their only job.
That's really fascinating. Good to know. So we could definitely say Baywatch is based off of real life.
And then there was someone who was hired for the very first season was Erica Elniak, and she had posed for Playboy.
Erica.
And because women are shamed and they can't inhabit their bodies and be sexual creatures, there was a petition to fire her, and it got...
Why?
Because how dare she be a woman and how dare she show her boobs?
You cannot be an actress if you've shown your breasts. Everybody knows that.
I just cannot understand why we feel like we still have to police women's bodies, but whatever.
I do. It makes total sense.
So dumb. So at this point, they toyed with firing her because it was so scandalous. And this is the interesting part. Terry Hatcher, Nev Campbell, Alicia Silverstone, and Sandra Bullock were all on the list of actresses who came in to replace her.
Oh, my. Sandra Bullock seems like an odd choice, but I could
but
see
this was
Alicia
like
Silverstone.
In the early 90s, like late, but she 89 really, was the first year.
She did all those, she's done those funny cop movies too. So she definitely has that.
I mean,
LAPD.
She started with Speed, so
yeah,
like.
She definitely could be part of it. And who was it? Alicia Silverstone? Terry Hatcher?
Terry Hatcher.
Like from Desperate or Real Housewives or Desperate,
Desperate
Housewives?
Desperate Housewives. And well, I know her from The Adventures
Superman.
Of Superman.
Yes.
Because when it was like 92 or 3, and Dean Cain was like one
Dean
of my first.
Now he hosts a show called like Can You Believe It or something, and it's like a kind of a weird like supernatural, like a ghost took my daughter to brunch and now the
sounds
ghost
like he's
is living with us
doing great. Now the ghost is living with us. Yeah, the ghost was just more interested in having like a relationship, just like a
just a friendship.
Family. And so once we went to dinner and got to know each other, I just was like, you know what? I have an extra room. You want to come in and
come stay? He doesn't need to sleep. He's a ghost.
And so then Dean Cain is like, let's all talk about this. And he sits everybody down and sort of like a Dr. Phil type of situation. Yeah. Well, Dean Cain didn't know you were still working, bud, but good for you because my little 11-year-old self loved you very much.
It's funny that you bring that up because I do remember seeing Superman and like really loving it. And literally it was that thing where he just took off his glasses, but he looked exactly the same. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
So there is a character from the LA season who's named Jill.
Jill.
And she was originally cast with an actress whose name was Pamela Bowen. I just wanted to share this fact because it felt so relatable for me at least. So Pamela Bowen gets to the set and realizes that she is terrified of the water.
Oh, Pamela, so, come on.
Bless her little heart. She had a panic attack on the set, which I can totally relate to. My first panic attack ever happened in an MRI machine unexpectedly, completely out of left field.
Pamela.
Had no idea panic was even capable
so
in my brain.
So she didn't know that she was scared of water before she got to the set? Or maybe they just didn't tell her that she was going to be in the water so much.
Like Kate Winslet but didn't want to be in Titanic because she was afraid of drowning. Because Ed Harris was in the James Cameron movie The Abyss. And he almost died. Like, there was an accident on scene in the water tank. And he almost died.
Are you kidding me? The Titanic's off behind the scenes when they're drowning?
Kate Winslet's like, I don't know if I can do this. So I get it on so many levels. A, realizing you're terrified when you didn't think you were. But then also just the danger of working with water.
I will drown. Give me $20 million to make a movie. I'll drown as many times as you want. Bring me back to life. Drowned.
Well, I guess you're right. You'd have to be resuscitated.
I will be an extra. $20 million, give it to me.
I want to be an extra that makes $20 million. So much demand. They're like, she makes the background of every scene pop. Trust me.
Yes. Have you seen her have an intense conversation with her friend behind the leaves?
You have never seen someone work so well. Let me just tell you, that's an amazing career.
She is the best extra we've ever seen.
I just imagine you're like walking around LA and you like got your Birkin bag and your big sunglasses. And when you walk by, they're like, have you seen her? She's the best extra.
Did you ever see her drinking in the bar scene at this?
Did you see her work in the back of Titanic? She was really dramatic when they were singing.
Just whispered the best whispers.
Everybody walk by. Did you see her in the back of the Fast and the Furious? She didn't even flinch when the engine was going.
She was in the back of ER. Sheila was delivering a baby. And it was like, you really thought she was delivering a baby. She is great at her craft.
I literally had to look it up on Google if that woman was relieving a baby in the background.
Okay, we have gone for this too far. Okay. Next fact.
I could whisper facts about this imaginary extra for the rest of my life.
Speaking of, if anyone's out there listening that's a producer, we are available for being extra.
Trust us. We're really good at it. So she gets there and she panics and the doctor's like, okay, you need to stay away from the set for 2 weeks and he even said stay away from water for 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Just let's start over from scratch. But at that point, because a doctor had been involved, then she was uninsurable. And so they couldn't hire her back. So
I mean, I figure that would be a...
At that point, she was probably really relieved.
Give me a little inkling that she probably would be difficult to work with.
She's probably like... That is actually good for me, because then I'm not going to be sued for breach of contract.
Come on, you get cast for ER and you're scared of hospitals.
I don't know. That's why I'm saying I shared it, because this one I can relate to. I never
know when a panic attack's going to hit.
That I would be scared in an MRI machine, and I went full just animal brain.
Maybe she wasn't
so
aware
scary.
Of it.
So she got replaced by someone named Sean Weatherly, who replaced Pamela Bowen as Jill.
Fast.
So, in Los Angeles... There were still times, even though the weather's pretty fair and it's pretty mediocre, mild. That's what I was trying to say.
Mild, yeah.
Mediocre. Not mediocre. No, because the weather's great.
Moderate.
That's what I'm trying to think. Because it's been a real, real long few days of recording and my brain is mush at this point. I'm running on lots of coffee.
It's so hard, you guys. This is a hard job.
I don't know if you know this, but we have to sit in chairs and talk into microphones for extended hours.
It's so hard about whatever we want, about things we're passionate about. Baywatch.
Shut up. So there were still times, even though the weather was moderate, there were still times when the water, like in the middle of winter, would get down to 49 degrees. At that point, it was still too cold. They weren't wearing wetsuits. So they had to move some of the rescue scenes to Hawaii and shoot in the ocean in Hawaii. But because the water was warmer in Hawaii, there were sharks in the water.
Oh, geez.
And there were lots of sharks in the water.
Geez.
So then they had to hire shark guards. So guys who would swim the perimeter of the scene with stun guns just to protect the actors from the sharks.
And it's funny they didn't get any B-roll of those sharks to use in other episodes. Because
every time someone
saw a shark, there was never a freaking shark anywhere.
They wasted that opportunity big time. You guys could have so much shark footage.
I
want
to be so rich that I hire people to be shark stunners around.
Every time I go in the ocean, I need my lifeguards.
If I'm in the Caribbean, I'm like, guard this area.
My shark guards.
Make sure you shock the shit out of any shark that comes next to me. Shock the shit out of any shark that shimmies by.
Shows up.
Get it.
Well, when you're making $20 million as an extra, you can definitely hire those shark guards.
Now you're talking. No, you get it.
Did you see her? She has shark cards. She must be really rich.
She must be really rich. She has shark cards. There's so many sharks. I one time heard that 100 sharks tried to come and eat her family, but she had so many shark cards that they stopped them all.
That's never going to not be funny. The other thing was they shot an enhanced, in quotes, enhanced pilot for Europe because Europe doesn't have many, has many rules about nudity. And so they thought that possibly because so much of their audience was going to be overseas because David Hasselhoff had a, at this point,
huge in Germany.
Singing career. Huge, just absolutely in Germany. Like, blew the lid off the place.
Germany loved the DH so much. It's like I've been there and nonstop people talking about it still on the street.
He's from America. Have you seen
David Have you met David Hasselhoff? I heard he's really, yeah, so people love it.
There's another fact coming up, so I won't share it right now, but also that goes into David Hasselhoff's success. And so, and so they were counting on this European audience, and Europe, like I said, doesn't have as much issue with nudity starting from the get-go. And so they decided to shoot an enhanced pilot that showed boobs.
Where do you find this pilot? I want to watch.
Oh, yeah? You really want to watch boobs? You got some interest in boobs?
But I just want to see how it was, because how do they rescue with boobs? I mean...
Well, what happened was they were trying to shoot a scene in which someone was posing nude. Uh-huh. For photographers. Uh-huh. And so the rescue, or the scene was like that all the people on the beach had binoculars and were trying to spy on the photo shoot of the topless woman.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And so they cast a girl who was like...
scared of being topless.
The doctor's like, you have to stay away from boobs for 2 weeks.
She's like, I'm terrified of boobs.
You would definitely not be happy on Baywatch. Boobs and water are the two things you cannot be afraid of. So she was one of those... She was... like a body double, essentially, you know, where like in your contract, someone else can be your boobs for you. But those two nude scenes never made it into the pilot, and that version of the pilot never saw the light of day.
Wow, interesting. I would have had no idea, but I'm sure a lot of people would have liked to see that.
No.
Because Baywatch became famous for boobs that were covered up, but boobs nonetheless.
I know. Well, I guess it's sort of like, don't shoot your shot from the beginning. You don't want to make a pilot.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately show boobs. Like, come on. A little foreplay, Baywatch. Right?
Get it. Don't do that.
Don't rush.
Just the bathing suits get smaller and smaller every season. Or, like, every episode, they get tinier
and tinier. Or they're, like, more see-through, till they're, like, mesh.
And then you get the areola shot, and you're just like, nabada, nabada, nabada.
I've been waiting 10 years for this.
I'm watching this entire season again.
But you have to watch it all in order just for the buildup. It's very, very erotic.
We know how to write shows.
Have you heard about them? They write really, really great shows.
They came up with areola shots, which are like actually not tit shots. It's just like a little bit of areola outside of a see-through bathing suit. It's amazing.
Okay.
This was supposed to be quick. This was supposed to be like a 15-minute thing, and it's already such the longest. Okay.
Okay. So after finding out that they'd be picked up for 12 episodes in 1989, Bonin, who we briefly talked about.
I wasn't born yet, but I would.
He was. You were just a twinkle in your mother's
just
eye.
Just a twinkle in the eye.
So he was with producers at Venice Beach, and they were sort of scouting locations. Well, here's where it gets wild. A boy was panicking. Ran up to them, to Bonin and the producers, and he was like, my brother is drowning. I need help. Bonin ran into the water, found the boy, gave him mouth to mouth, resuscitated him, and saved him. And with that rescue, he was awarded the Lifeguard Medal of Valor from the county.
You are fucking shitting me right now.
No, I'm not.
That is a real life Baywatch episode.
Yes.
This is totally, you guys, this is basically a documentary.
Yes.
That is so crazy.
Isn't that nuts? No one else
on the beach could save him. It had to be this specific person.
I guess.
Oh, because maybe there weren't a lot of people because they were scouting specific places.
Maybe that's true.
Where were that boy's parents?
Yeah, that's also true. How old were these boys?
How old are these boys? And why are they out there on their own?
I want to know more.
And why
maybe if they're like teenagers, that's one thing. But if they were like young.
Drugs. Hoodlums.
Spray painting on the piers.
Spray painting on the piers. That's cool, though. That's actually very fascinating.
I know. It was really cool. And I bet you that was like just such a feather in his cap that every time the writers came up with something, he'd be like, you know what? That's not realistic enough.
You know, when I saved that boy,
you know how many people
was drowning? You know, when I saved him and did mouth to mouth?
They're like, I don't know if this plot's going to work. Hey, did you save a boy?
Did you save a Did a little boy run up to you and say, my brother's freaking drowning? And you had to go run into water and save him in your full clothes?
Then no.
Then no.
Make it happen.
Okay. This is a, did you get a Medal of Valor from the community? Oh, then I, if you didn't, then shut your goddamn mouth and write what I say.
You just became such a such a tyrant.
This is the worst writer. He's just so awful. Everyone's scared of him.
He rides in the Riding Hood with his Medal of Valor.
He's just always wearing it. Has a picture of the boy, like a medal of the boy that he's saving behind
Someone
him.
Starts talking. He just points at his medal.
I could imagine that.
Did you hear me win the Medal of Valor?
There we are in the background whispering. Me and you, professional whispers.
Oh, God. Yeah,
okay.
So the woman, Sean Weatherly, who we just read about, she replaced Pamela Bowen, who was afraid of the water. So she really got tired of all the running. She was just like, this does not make sense. It's
are
like,
you kidding?
Run first, speak later.
For?
Well, it was the first season, so they didn't know.
Okay, but still, it's like, what do you think lifeguards do? Of course they run.
Maybe she thought it was going to feel like her character development. She said that it was run first, speak later, if at all.
Makes sense.
So she decided to leave after that first season, and the writers, to repay her for leaving, had her character die a terrible death where she was mauled by a shark.
Oh, Lord, you couldn't get more creative. Make her die by running. She runs into a hole.
Yeah, be like, oh, you hate running so much. Oh, okay.
You run off a cliff by accident. Oh, an asthma attack. Oh, no. The saddest. She's just breathing. She breathes really hard for 20 minutes and dies. It's a full episode.
I realize.
Her inhaler is 30 feet in front of her. She can't get it. That's sad.
I really picked the slowest, saddest death. Yours was way better. Run off a cliff.
It's a whole episode.
Take a long run off a short pier.
All right. Let's keep going.
Your joke was way funnier, and I feel sad it didn't get the time it deserved. Okay. This is kind of disgusting and especially because nowadays we care more about the environment and we're being a little more mindful of the like our oceans. But at the time, the water that they were swimming in was so contaminated, and there was like tons of garbage in it and like other substances that they said they could not figure out what everything was.
Poop.
So
that's what it is. I'm sorry, you guys. I'll be the detective on this case. It's poop. That's what it was. Sorry to burst your bubble. We just can't figure out what this brown stinky sludge is. It's poop from LA. That's all it is. Come on. We all know the answer to that. They just can't say it because then it's like disgusting.
Yeah, they put other suspect substances.
Yeah, suspect. Yeah. Hire Mitch from freaking Mitch Buchanan from Baywatch Nights to investigate the poop sludging up on the shore. That's what it is. It's so gross.
I suspect this substance is poop.
I don't know how to say this, guys, but this is poop.
I suspect this came out of someone's ass.
I suspect this is poop. Okay. Let's clear the shore.
Oh my God, I can't.
Yeah, that's gross. That's so sad and disgusting. And I don't know if it was poop. That's my assumption.
So the medics would have to disinfect the actors as soon as they got out of the water.
Oh my God. It is even proving my point even more.
Billy Warlock, who played Eddie Kramer, who we meet in the Hawaiian wedding episode, he said that the medics would spray in every orifice they could find.
Sick. That's poop, you guys. I mean, like, what else could it be? I mean, seriously, like, what else could it be?
I really, honest to God, thought maybe there were, like, drug needles floating around in the water or something. But then with an orifice, I was like, no, that doesn't work.
A needle gets right up in your little booty hole and just releases whatever is in there. Ooh, got a spray. No, it's poo. Oh, everyone's throwing up. Everyone's so sick
butthole
all the
drugs.
Time. Butthole drugs. Ugh, that grosses me out. And that not only makes me very sad, but that grosses me out.
So we're all taking better care of our oceans. I get it's not perfect, but whatever. We're not at least having to be sprayed down and disinfected.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh my God. Suspect. I suspect I don't know where that came from.
Who'd you hire to suspect that?
Did you hear about him? He pooped in the ocean.
Did you hear about that guy? He discovered it was poop. Poop was this, the substance that they weren't aware of, but it was poop and he discovered it. The guy's all walking around, like, so happy. He's like, hey, you swimming in this water? Did you know it used to be poop? But I discovered that it's not poop anymore. So, swim free, whatever.
Have you ever swum and not had to be disinfected? You're welcome. I can visually see that guy just, like, the cock of the walk on the beach, just
so
loving life. Okay, so despite being NBC's highest rated show on Friday nights.
Ooh, that's a good time slot.
The highest or the best rated show since Knight Rider, who had that time slot previously.
Okay. I've never seen Knight Rider. We should do a special on that.
Baywatch didn't meet expectations. Okay. So here's where it gets weird. They were canceled after the first episode or that first season. They were canceled after 22 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. So a double whammy because the studio behind the production was also shutting down. So it's kind of a double whammy.
Yeah. That's crazy. I had no idea. I thought it was like a booming success from episode one.
Yeah. So that's what I also was kind of like, what? Because didn't it last for forever?
Yeah. Everyone. I mean, it was like a pop culture staple.
So the production company was running out of money and went bankrupt, and then they weren't doing super well. And so it was just sort of like an out of necessity, they were canceled.
Wow. Okay.
So this is where it comes back to life. And we have the 10 years or whatever that Baywatch was on the air. They bought back the rights and they only had to pay $10 for them because the studio was out of business. They had nothing to lose.
I know, right? That's still though. I mean, $10, they could have asked for a tiny bit more, but I get it. Well, they're desperate.
They made a deal. So they said, this was in the New York Times, this particular anecdote. They said if we were successful, then the studio would get $5,000 an episode. And if they weren't, then nobody's out any money. But like, you'll still benefit if we do.
Okay.
And then they asked David Hasselhoff to take a 50% pay cut in exchange for being an executive producer.
The Hoff take a pay cut?
So here's where the aforementioned David Hasselhoff Germany thing comes into play.
The Germans backed him.
Because, yes.
Were they so excited, yes, really?
Because the Hoff's popularity in Germany helped them secure the $300,000 an episode from the continental Europe as part of the first syndication deal. So they were the ones.
No way.
The Germans made it all possible.
Oh, I love the Germans. They only won on stipulation. Some must be more holes. You dig a hole in the beach for every dollar we donate and then fill it back in and relieve your duties. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. The Germans helped. That's so, thank you, Germany. We would not have a really unpopular podcast that we do very rarely if it were for you.
So because of that, eventually Baywatch reached a weekly audience around the world of 1.1 billion people.
No, that's a lie.
In 142 different countries.
That's absolutely a lie.
That's insane. That's insane.
Like almost one sixth of the population at that time.
It had been established for a while, because that's after it came back and became number one, because it did become number one after a while.
Oh, but 1.8 billion.
1.1 billion.
1.1.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy amount of people.
I know. When I read one time in a completely separate space that it was the most popular show on television ever, I was like, I couldn't. I heard somewhere that they were the number one show on the world.
See, that's actual whispering. That's like what it's, that's real. That's what someone would actually be whispering.
So the next thing was that Pamela Anderson was introduced to the world through Baywatch.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the girls who left the show, who got written off like during, I think, the third season, she says, like, basically, I knew I was headed out when Pamela Anderson came in.
Everyone just knew.
Everybody loved her.
She was a shining star.
There was this rumor, too, that David Hasselhoff didn't want her to be part of the cast because he was going to be upstaged by her. But
yeah, he got upstaged by her.
So, but he says, no, that's not it. He told the New York Times, it wasn't about being upstaged by her.
It absolutely was.
It was because she was in Playboy. And he said, this is a family show.
Pam Anderson was in Playboy before Baywatch.
Right.
I had no idea. I thought she was in Playboy after. I thought that's how she got her fame.
I mean, she probably was after, but before as well. So he said he wasn't worried about being upstaged by her. He didn't want her to be on the show because it was a family show.
I mean, that's also a huge lie, because no one can upstage the Hoff. Everyone knows that.
I thought you were saying it was such a lie that it was a family show.
No, that he's like,
because clearly it wasn't.
You think David Hasselhoff's okay with being upstaged?
But he said,
I say a lot of things I don't mean. Yeah, what is this? All of a sudden, if it's written on E! Online, it's for sure the word.
Because he says that it all changed for him once he met her. And that's why he cast her.
Yeah, because he got a bone. you're acting like this is like something. He was definitely jealous of her, didn't want to do it because he upstaged her.
And then he wanted to fuck her.
Met her, so. And then he was like, bazinga. Oh, I hate that I said that, but his eyes were like, blah, 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 and he.
You definitely know what a straight man fantasizes about.
I do. I've been working FHM. Lee from Baywatch has taught me about it. Continue.
So in the mid-90s, at that point, everybody essentially saw her and was like, yeah, she's the quintessential babe. She's going to take off.
And
everybody
knew.
She started
that whole like blonde hair, vivacious. Because
like, Anna Nicole Smith came into being after her. Like she was
remember
very...
it was all like heroin chic skinny and straight black hair. But she came in and it was like, va-va-voom.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like all the women that came in, came in later, like Neely and Gina Lee Nolan and the other the girl who was just in the Thunder Bay movie that we just watched. I'm blanking on her name. But she looked exactly like Pamela Anderson, too. So they kind of knew they hit the jackpot with that. And then they started kind of casting people who had that feel,
she was
essentially.
Like the first bombshell blonde. That like sultry baby voice, big boobs.
Yeah. In the mid-90s, Anderson's the it girl. She's reshaped a Baywatch. She becomes the quintessential Baywatch babe. And this is when her infamous sex tame comes out.
Sex tame.
She had very tame sex with Tommy Lee Jones.
Sex tame.
They were missionary position.
Did you hear that she had really tame sex?
Did you hear that she like just lays there real still?
Very tame, very fun, family friendly.
She does not make a noise.
Okay, so she was dating Tommy Lee, who was huge. He was part of Motley Crue.
Right. And so they make that sex tape that got, oh man, and that's all you saw
it.
For
that's
years.
Great.
And you know what? More power to her. You know what? She was owning her sexuality.
I had a good time.
Was doing her thing. Yeah. I cannot believe people would shame her for that. Women, they deserve to enjoy sex any which way they want, if it's on tape or off tape.
Just make sure you're getting, like, you're making sure no one, if you don't want to be filmed, make sure that nobody's filming it.
You don't want it to be in the wrong hands. That's true.
Yeah.
But it's your right to make it. It's your right to enjoy it. So at that time, that's when a lot of people were like, all the affiliates where it was syndicated were like, you gotta fire her. She's a slut. Get her off the airwaves now. But guess what? Baywatch was at the highest ratings it ever experienced.
Can't get rid of her.
During this time when the tape was in the news.
Can't get rid of her.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. You're welcome. There was also, this is a really interesting fact for me, because we all know at this point, it's been shared multiple times on this podcast, that I was obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, you were, you guys, let me take a minute to talk, because you, Cadence, was not obsessed. She had like a weird kind of like.
No, I thought we were good. I thought like she, no, that she, we were going to end up together.
You really did. She thought that. Posters, pictures.
I wrote letters.
She used to write Cadence DiCaprio. Like, she was like, not just like infatuated, she was obsessed to the point where you were like, okay.
And we had to write a limerick.
That was really anticlimactic.
That we were like,
you were like, all right, I accept this.
Sounds good.
You do not need help or anything.
Sounds good.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, no, she's good. She just really loves him. She thinks they're going to end up together. It's not a big deal.
She did, and she made me love him, too.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean, she did, but I was like, oh, yeah, I'm way more into Claire Danes. No, I loved
her. Oh, I also loved Claire Danes. I would have married her, too. So, I also am just going to share this two brief snippets. One was that we had to write a limerick, an Irish limerick, in creative writing class. And to this day, I remember mine, because it went like this. There was a man named Leonardo, and who to marry he did not know. Then he met me and fell instantly, and now I am Mrs. DiCaprio.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's the saddest thing I've heard since we talked last, and you said something sad. She did. You guys, all I remember, like, is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
like, he's burned into, and, like, because of you, I awkwardly keep, like, really close tabs on his entire life.
Yep.
I'm like, did you know Leonardo DiCaprio, like, shot a water gun in his, like, dad bod, and it's so great? I just, like,
those
love.
Those pictures are the best.
I just, like, know everything about him.
And he also shares my birthday of November 11th, so I thought that that was another sign that we were going to be together. Now I realize that two Scorpios together, it would have been explosive in all the wrong ways. But I was like, it's a sign. It's a sign. We're meant to be together. It's
a sign. Mental illness. I think there's like a term for that. I think I saw a Dr. Phil episode.
Delusional.
Like, I think I saw a Dr. Phil episode about this, but yeah.
I don't know if I told you this, but I desperately wanted to be loved. I think it came out in lots of unhealthy ways.
There's a cardboard cutout of Leonardo DiCaprio here in the hotel room. Anyway, let's go.
So Leonardo DiCaprio was, quote, and I quote, by Michael Burke, who was a creator and a writer for this show, ready to be cast as Hobie.
No.
Yes.
Fegan Way.
Yes. And the only reason
why
that he didn't get cast is because David Hasselhoff decided he wanted Hobie to be younger. And at that time,
but Leo DeCap was so young.
He was 15 at that time.
What is with this?
And how old does he want to be?
No, like Colin's he's a kid. Face.
It's like cartoon eyes right now.
I am, because like how, like, did he want him to portray like a younger son?
Yeah, he didn't want him to age. So, because like he wanted him to stay young for like a few seasons and not look visibly older. So originally it was Brandon Call, who was, did you ever watch Step by Step on TGIF? Oh,
yes, of course.
So he was originally in the first season.
He kind of looks like Hobie
a little
bit.
But he aged too much, and Mitch was like between the first and the second season, because he started out older, if
Hollywood,
that makes sense.
Am I right?
Because then when you go through puberty, all of a sudden kids shoot up like 12 inches overnight.
Oh, it's true.
So he brought in Jeremy Jackson to play Hobie when he was only 10, and then that gave them a few more seasons of leeway because he wasn't going to age so fast and be a teenager. But Jeremy Jackson, this is just sort of a side note.
Not to be confused with Joshua Jackson.
Jeremy Jackson is... There, I don't know if you've ever seen him in the tabloids. I only know this because...
No, I'm pretty sure no one has.
Well...
it's going to take a wild guess. Probably not.
Here's the thing. I don't read tabloids and or look at them. However, when I was looking up... I was trying to figure out something that happened during Baywatch Hawaii. And so I was Googling. And it turned out that he had married someone from Baywatch. And he kind of like his life blew up. And so he has a quote...
Are we talking about Hobie right now, right?
Yeah. Okay. So Jeremy Jackson told Esquire magazine. He said, I quit just before my 18th birthday, quit Baywatch. He said, I was partying so much. I passed on a lot of really big movie offers.
Probably.
And rather than cleaning up my act, I decided to say screw it all and go further into the dark side. It was a big blow up on the set where I quit in the middle of a filming day.
Sounds like you were on drugs and you made a really rash decision out of a cocaine-fueled anger.
Yeah. So that's what I mean.
I don't like to be skeptical.
No, you make a spectacle. You are skeptical.
Skeptical, yeah.
And he acknowledges that. And so he had to go through rehab and all that jazz.
Aww.
Bless his little heart. But you know what? He must have been feeling better because he comes back for the Baywatch Hawaiian wedding.
And Thunder.
So you know what? He got it together.
He got it together. That's good for him. Bless but his I little get heart. It. I mean, if I was so young, surrounded by babes in LA, making money, so young, I would love it.
Yeah. It's got to be a lot to handle. On the number one show in America or in the world, 1.1 billion people?
So crazy.
Got to be a lot of ego going on there.
Inline skates, Chrysler Sebring convertible.
Number one thing on the list, inline skates.
I dried the organic orange juice.
I'm rich about tons of inline skates.
None of that concentrate shit. I'm buying the real orange juice. Partying left and
with
right.
Pulp.
With extra pulp.
And we would not have been drinking powdered milk, I'll tell you that much.
That's for sure.
Tell you that much. Another quick fact, which I'm only going to talk about because it involves Yasmin Bleeth, who's in the Baywatch wedding episode.
Yasmin, beautiful, wonderful actress.
So gorgeous. So gorgeous.
But I always get confused with her and Saved by the Bell.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen. For some reason, when I was young, I just got them so confused all the time. I thought she was on Baywatch. I thought that was her until I realized it was Yasmin.
I see what you're saying.
So anyway, that's just a side note about me.
She was freaking beautiful. And she was actually one of the first women that got involved with, well, I don't know, really ever on TV that was like more curvaceous. And granted, it's all relative in Hollywood. But she had like a more curvaceous figure. And so she felt really like kind of self-conscious about that, because part of her was like, well, I'm proud of myself and I think I look different. But the other part of her was like, you're next to Pamela Anderson, who's like a size 00. Mm-hmm. So you start feeling a little bit.
It's inevitable if you're next to Pam Ann.
Yeah. So she spoke also to Esquire and said that her drug problem got out of hand. So around that time, she was using a lot of cocaine.
Oh, no.
And she was arrested for cocaine possession and driving under the influence.
Yazzer-san, what are you doing with your life? You're beautiful, young, you have so much in front of you.
And she said, this is her quote, by the end of 1999, I stopped looking like myself. I'm a fleshy girl with very, very curvy.
Fleshy.
I know that's not the word I want to use,
that's
but whatever.
Cutest word, but okay.
I'm a fleshy girl, very curvy and round, but I'd lost my softness. My friends said I looked like an alien and then my eyes were bulging out of my face. I wasn't anorexic looking, but instead of being a size 6 with a 29-inch waist, I was 110 pounds on a size 0. So She was really, really struggling.
I mean, that's what cocaine will do to you, I imagine, if you're doing it all day.
You're imagining? You're just using your imagination on this one?
That's what a cocaine will do? If I had to guess, I'd assume that's what it did.
I mean, if I had to reach into the depths of my creativity.
I guess that it had to make you not hungry and crazy. I don't know. Just how I feel.
Have you heard about Colin? He used a lot of cocaine.
I was trying to think of something funny, but I
then you're like, no, fact. Oh, yeah. It's fact. So then she, luckily for both us and Yasmin, she was able to find a job on Nash Bridges eventually. And she married her husband there. And they've been married for 17 years. So good for them. Good for them. She got it together.
That's great. I'm so happy about Yasmin Bleed. I didn't even realize I cared.
Yeah.
But now I do. And now I'm happy about it.
Yeah. We went through a roller coaster of emotions. We're like, addiction. No. Success. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Losing weight. Gaining weight. Losing love. Finding love.
It's just funny because I assume everybody, like, especially in the 80s and early 90s, like, I just assume everybody was on huge amounts of blow.
Like, heroin chic was all the rage. It was like Kate Moss topless in the Calvin Klein ads, and she was just like so tiny.
But I love heroin chic look. But I love the sunken everybody looked eyes like that.
It makes sense to me now, like, all the girls who grew up during that age, like the 90s, because, man, I just wanted to be like a walking hanger, like, just completely like bones. And I was never going to be me. I'm also a fleshy girl. And I was
fleshy. You can use so many other words to describe like a little bit curvaceous than fleshy.
Voluptuous. There's so many good words.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just
built for comfort, not for speed. So many things.
I guess, yeah.
You see why it was like such a weird prevalent, like eating disorders went rampant. Yeah,
I just imagine, it was rough. Still in Hollywood, imagine everybody's just on so many drugs. It's just like, it's like prescription now, you know?
No.
Because you're about them, they use lots of prescription drugs. All the time.
So that made me, just.
Keep going.
Well, it was. Whatever I was about to say was not going to be funny. It was going to be so sad and tragic. And so I stopped myself.
Yeah, let's just stop.
I stopped myself.
Let's hear that next fact.
All right. So this one is just a cute little anecdote. Mila Kunis was on Baywatch twice as a little girl.
I love Mimi.
And she was on it twice as two different characters. So that's the funny part. She was played in 1994, a girl who ran for help when her friend was drowning. And then a year later, in 1995, she played a blind student who needed saving from a fire. Because I guess lifeguards are also firefighters.
I mean, we learned earlier that it's like a medical firefighter everything show. So that makes absolute sense to me.
So she said that she told Howard Stern that her whole family came with her because they all wanted to see Pamela Anderson in real life. This next little bonkers fact was really interesting to me. Simply because it resonated after, if you listened to one of the episodes with Jenna in Baywatch Hawaii, we were talking about her bathing suit being cut to high freaking heaven. And how the space between her armpit and her bikini bottom was like an inch. Like an inch of fabric. It was just the highest cut thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's wild. It literally goes up all the way under her armpit. Yeah.
And it's probably taped in there with wardrobe tape. It was nuts. So I said they must have done that to like personalize it or something, because nobody is wearing a bathing suit that high cut, especially if you're like a lifeguard.
But if you're a doctor of the sea,
you're right. You're right. That's especially designed for her. Each red swimsuit, while visually was the same color red, same fabric and everything, they were tailored differently for each person wearing them.
I knew it. That makes so much sense, because I just knew that there were some that like did not look like others.
Yep. So each one was cut, whether the the legs were cut higher, the straps were skinny or wide, they were closer or farther apart. Mm. Some necklines were more plunging than others. So whatever choices they made were to accentuate the body of the actress wearing them.
That is so nuts.
And the creator, Bonin, said to the New York Times, "I wanted them to be real and practical and actually work in the surf."
Practical?
So,
real and practical and work in the surf?
I don't think I get that he's trying to make it sound like he wasn't sexualizing the women.
Yeah.
But I think we can all agree here that as much as he was doing his best trying to make everybody's bodies shine, there was no way he was like, this is the most practical thing for them to be wearing in the surf.
This is the most
practical. There's just no way.
No, a tiny little slit over your tit. No way. Full down to your...
A tiny little slit over your slit.
Over your slit. A little slit on slit action. Like, there's no way. Come on. That's crazy. And, like, there are some that are so low cut, you almost see areola. And that cannot be good for, like, swimming.
And Michael Burke, one of the writers and creators, he says, he takes it even farther by saying, we never tried to be sexy intentionally. It was all about athletes and functionality.
Oh, God. Give me a break.
There's absolutely no way that's true.
Let's call a spade here. Baywatch got famous for hot girls running on the beach. That's all I got famous for.
I will say that as a aficionado of Baywatch Hawaii.
Hot men too, running on the
beach. They wore a lot of like rash guards and wetsuits in Baywatch Hawaii.
They did.
More than they did anywhere else. Well, they were an elite team and they were doing exercises that were...
Are you implying that LA
far more involved.
Wasn't an elite team?
I'm just saying they maybe weren't as elite.
Ooh, then some fighting words.
That's all.
Let's get some CJ and Lonnie up here.
So Kelly Packard, who joined the show sort of in later seasons, she actually said that the coverage did get skimpier and skimpier. And she said, and I quote, my swimsuit was so far up my butt that I started crying.
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah, Kelly Packard.
Could you imagine?
You packed that swimsuit too up high up your butt.
The chafing. Because if it was going up your butt and you're running and running and running and it's like sandy and in the ocean and all the salt water.
But they weren't in like thongs though. I mean, it covered their butt cheeks.
I know, but they're so high that it's like it would just wedge itself in. Every time you ran, it would just wedge.
Oh. That's sad to me. Crying, like you were in that much pain.
It'd be so uncomfortable.
That'd be so uncomfortable.
I can just like imagine the chafing and like swimsuit material and like. Ugh.
I get mad if like I have underwear that are too tight. Like it makes my whole day miserable.
Yeah, exactly. I have to be.
That's just like regular.
I've always said that my butt is just voluptuous and it's very tricky with underwear. And
my crotch is just so big.
The wrong
kind. My underwear is just so big that it makes it so uncomfortable.
That I'll live with a wedgie all day and I don't want to do that. I'm just going to keep talking and pretend like you aren't making fun of me right now.
No, I'm just stating my crotch is so huge.
It's just like it's such a hard life. Big. Listen,
it's always protruding out of my pants and everyone's like,
every time I walk by, they're like, have you seen her butt? It's so voluptuous. Have you seen that girl's butt?
Have you seen that? You can see VPL.
It's a real donk donk.
But donk.
So, you know what? I'm just used to it. I'm used to being a sex symbol. I'm totally used to being objectified. Yeah. It's just a thing that happens. Telling you, shopping for underwear is a struggle. When you're as voluptuous as I am, you cannot find anything to cover your curves.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're talking about this, because we were both very sexy people.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So we get I always was like,
totally
shirt.
Get
people
it.
Were always like, take off your shirt.
Right.
Like, go down to your underwear.
Go down to your underwear.
Chop wood in the rain.
Right. Sprayed you with a hose just so you'd be glistening.
Hey, can you do a car wash for me? Mm-hmm. But by the way, can you wear these jean cutoff shorts?
Right.
And at the time, I didn't know, but
now you get it.
I get it.
So they decided to start kind of reusing swimsuits. So, for example, there was a bathing suit specifically designed for Alexandra Paul, who plays Stephanie, and then also Allison in the Baywatch Wedding.
R.I.P. girl. She, if you don't remember, in Baywatch Wedding, Stephanie was Mitch's
his fiancé that died. Fucking if you say hell, wife I, one more time,
every time we've recorded, I keep saying wife, fiancé that died.
So, Kelly Packard inherited Alexander Paul's suit, and then when Tracy Bingham joined the show, she told Esquire that she looked in her bathing suit and it said Pam, and so they gave her Pamela Anderson's old swimsuit.
Isn't that kind of weird though?
It is like, weird to me.
You can't just make a new bathing suit.
Successful bathing suit or show in the entire world, and you can't just figure out another way to tailor the same thing twice.
Right? And I'm sorry, but you've got like Pam Ann's juices on your crotch.
Yeah, I thought it was weird too myself.
I thought that's so gross. You know that some
things
are being
transferred. And it's got to be worn out because they're shooting constantly.
Yes,
running, moving in the surf and bathing suits.
That seems strange to me.
Yeah.
Very strange.
I also thought it was very weird, but you know what? I'm not an actress. I'm just a $20 million extra. I don't know.
And you're a voluptuous, sexualized.
Worshipped $20 million a scene actress.
It's weird.
Whatever.
Who happens to have a podcast.
Wearing the suit was obviously a part of the job. But
yes, that it was.
But what people weren't prepared for as part of the job is auditioning and having to get naked.
No, they had to get naked.
Yep.
Why? Read this. So I need to know. This both, I'm mad.
Do you want to know or not? You can let me say it or not.
I'm just so mad. / turned on / wanting to know.
Give me all the details slowly. So Sean Weatherly, who we talked about earlier, she recalled with the E! True Hollywood Story that she was unexpectedly asked to take her clothes off mid-audition. And Carmen Electra had the same experience. She at the time was hosting Singled Out on MTV. Remember that show?
Oh my, do I remember that show?
She told the New York Times that the only thing she was worried about when she had to get naked in her audition was that no one would notice that her legs were not shaved.
Oh God, give me a break.
She's like me. She's like, I'm used to you wanting to see my body.
I'm so fit and I'm so beautiful. But you know what I'm really worried about? I didn't brush my teeth today. You guys,
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm so embarrassed. I didn't brush my teeth. And I hope you guys don't notice. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Come on, Carm. Carm.
Just standing there like, all this? Yeah, get it. Whatever. Just don't look at my legs.
Oh no, my baby pinky toe isn't, the nail polish just dropped. Oh, I don't know how many notices. God, give me a break.
Carmen Electra.
I mean, at that, if you look like Carmen Electra, you aren't going to care. That's the only thing you're going to care about. That's very true. Yeah, so whatever.
So she also said later that she framed her bathing suit and she keeps that at her house.
Framed it for murder? Oh.
She framed her bathing suit for a crime and is now serving a life sentence in San Quentin. Because it killed her career.
Oh! Ouch! Burn! That was a good one. That was a good one.
I didn't even think about that one.
It took me a minute to get it, and then I was like, yeah, I guess nothing really happened.
As soon as I said it, I was like, Cadence, you are a genius. It wasn't even in my mind. It wasn't even in my mind till that moment. That's how good I am under pressure. That's why I get paid $20 million.
Wait, so again, why did you have to get naked?
So they can make sure that they weren't hiding any weird body things before they put the bathing suits on them.
I'm pretty sure those bathing suits show all. What would they possibly, like,
because then you wouldn't hide them. That's what I'm saying, is that if for somehow they didn't realize there was something grotesque about your body and they hire you, sign a contract, and then you show up in the red bathing suit and all of a sudden you have a gigantic cyst coming out of your anus or something.
Well, why can't they just do that with underwear on?
No,
like, you're mostly, do they have to, like, oh my
god, we're talking about the fucking Harvey Weinstein casting couch absolute shit show of Hollywood.
You have a little fissure on your butthole. You're not gonna make it to Baywatch Hawaii. Sorry,
I don't think they're gonna be looking at fissures in your actual anus, because that would be
your little butthole. Butthole's a little too starfish looking. So, gotta
spread your cheeks. Gotta get a
glove. That's what I feel like. That's so weird. Ugh.
But men are gross and men are trash and women have been exploited since the beginning of time. So, of course, they use this as a reason for them to get naked. Of course. So, Carmen Electra left after only one season in 1997, but she did come back for, as we know, because we've covered the Baywatch Hawaiian wedding. She left because her mom was having some health issues, and it was tender. Remember when she married Dennis Rodman? Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that just now. Yes,
we might have to fact check this, guys.
I think my little nine-year-old brain,
or I was so young, but I was like, I think I remember being like, wow,
yep,
he's prettier than she is. No, just kidding. He had all kinds of, like, his hair was all dyed.
He would dress, like, in dresses. He was so progressive, if you think about it, because he was, like,
he had, like, mascara and, like,
a basketball player, like, in a hyper-masculine sport, but he was, like, really, like, piercings, colored his hair, was, like, wore whatever clothes he wanted.
Nail polish and stuff. Yes. And then he became friends with Kim Jong-il. Well,
yes, I was going to say, like, I really appreciate that looking back on it, which I guess I can still appreciate it looking back on it, what he was actually, like, how progressive he was being. But did we really need to make friends with Kim Jong? Is that really necessary? Is that really necessary? Dennis Rodman?
Is he now? Anyway, that's a podcast for another, or a topic for another podcast.
Yes. So this is a different bonkers fact, but it's actually tied thematically to the bathing suit, nakedness, auditions, the whole shebang.
Keep talking.
Stephanie, who played the fiance of Mitch that passed away,
R.I.P.
and then also came back to play Allison. So they could not gain more than 5 pounds of the weight that you auditioned with. Okay. So they were, there was no wiggle room at all.
Okay.
But she was really irritated and she was like, why would they do this for the women? And the producer said, it's not just the women. It's everybody.
I mean, those men had tight bodies too. Yeah. And they had to work out probably, I mean, not justifying any of the mistreatment of women that there was for a long time and the sexual expectation that was put on them. But men had to also keep that body tight, work out all the time, eat. I'm sure they ate like vegetables, brown rice and vegetables.
they had Nomi Malone's diet.
Tastes like doggy chow. Have you ever had doggy chow, darling?
I ate doggy chow.
Still the weirdest conversation of my life.
Her surprise and joy. You ate doggy chow? I ate doggy chow. Guys, we're talking about
Nomi Malone in Showgirls.
Sorry, we will always circle back to Showgirls no matter what.
If you're going
to
listen to the podcast, watch Showgirls no matter what.
So she told Esquire that she was upset because she felt like it was directed at the women, but then realized that it was the entire cast. It was part of their contract stipulations. But she went on to say later, do I like that it defines my career? I don't hate it. If I had been on ER, that would have defined my career. Is that better or worse? I don't know.
Better.
I wish no one thing defined my career, but if it's going to be the number one show in the world, okay, I'll take it.
Own it, girl. Do
She's
it.
She's at peace about
Do
it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You're on Baywatch.
And she obviously came back for the wedding, even though she was another character. She came back to be one of the stars in Allison. The last thing they ever did.
Mitch's soon to be fiance. Who tricked him?
By having all that surgery. So Nicole Eggert joined later on. She plays Summer Quinn. Who we see in the Baywatch Hawaiian movie as getting with Hobie.
She's cute.
They get very aroused by their age difference. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Like mother.
Mother son.
I don't know what I was going to. Didn't mean to say that.
But
ooh, let's get that. I just meant he's like, she's like the hot mom. That's what I was saying. Like,
she's a MILF.
She's a MILF. And he's like the son's best friend.
I'll allow it.
I don't know. Just go on.
So she was actually in Charles in Charge. Do you remember that show?
Charles in Charge of our days and our nights. Charles I thought it was live.
In Charge of our wrongs and our rights.
Okay, Charles is.
I want Charles in charge of me. That actually.
He's a little too in charge. Charles, a little too in charge. I'm going to have to cut you right there.
Now that I'm singing this song again Charles, after all these years.
A little too in charge. Maybe he should
Charles
step back.
Needs to back off.
Yeah. Give you a little freedom if he's in charge of your days and your nights. I thought it was my days and my life. My wrongs and my rights. Charles, mac off, dude. That's, yeah, we didn't have a...
And who the fuck is being like, you want Charles in charge of me. He's going to make all the right choices.
Sounds like he's got a little cult going on. Sounds like he's like another Nexium deal going on right now.
He's a Keith Raniere type figure.
He's like just loving it.
Listen, I'm going to need you to eat your breakfast at 6:30 every day. Trust me. You want me in charge. Trust me.
I am in charge of your life. And my name is Charles.
Yes, Charles. Yes. Jeez, that was real weird. That song was real weird.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I know the song, but I don't think I ever watched the show. But I do know very like the guy who's the guy? Skip Bayo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bayo?
I've heard both. But now he's a Trump supporter, and he's like
really?
Super conservative.
Oh,
yeah.
No. So we don't want Charles in charge of
so
anything.
So at this point, Charles in charge needs to be in charge of no one.
No one. He needs to stay home.
Yeah. So she had started out being like more of an innocent character with Charles in charge because she was like the teenage girl. Mm-hmm. Also, she came out later and said, I just remembered this, that he had sex with her when she was underage. That Scott Bayo
Charles?
Had sex with her. Yeah. Because she was just a teenager.
Charles needs to get in charge of
his own shit.
His own shit. Yeah, yeah. He needs to question like what's important and what he's after.
Big time. Big time. So she felt really self-conscious being on Baywatch because all of a sudden she
allegedly. We have to say allegedly.
Allegedly. Don't come for us.
Yeah,
please.
This is all allegedly, guys. This is all allegedly. This whole thing.
I do not know any of the people involved in these claims.
Yeah,
we have no legal claims. Nothing whatsoever. So she was all of a sudden really sexualized. Like she went from being like a young, innocent girl on TV to like a really sexual Baywatch lifeguard. And so she left, obviously, only after having been there for, I think, oh no, two seasons. But then she came back. She's in the Hawaiian movie and the Hawaiian wedding movie.
Wait, who are we talking about again?
Summer Quinn.
Oh, Summer. Yes, yes, yes.
Played
yes.
by Nicole Eggert.
Yes, 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 yes.
But she said part of the reason that she came back was because she says, and I quote, she said this to Esquire magazine, It was kind of good to be able to go back comfortable in your skin, knowing you look good, knowing you look better. And so she felt like she was finally at an age where she like wasn't feeling self-conscious. She appreciated herself.
Good for her.
She's kind of where I'm at, where I'm just like, it's bombshell okay too. To be
she was so pretty.
It's okay.
Yeah. Everyone in the world is beautiful. And everyone on that show was beautiful. Just, so beautiful.
And the creators also said, yes, a lot of women did get augmentations, but that never came from us. We never asked anybody to do it. I mean, kind we of. Were only asking women to be naked in a hotel room alone in front of us.
That's what I'm saying.
Spinning around and bending
okay,
over.
Okay, allegedly.
But that was...
You're adding all these things. They had to juggle. They had to gulp milk very quickly. They had to balance on a balance beam in a hotel room
but
alone.
But we never asked them to get breast augmentations.
We were just checking for cysts on their buttholes. Just in case we needed them to get in a very butthole exposing swimsuit. Which I get.
Yeah, you guys aren't coming out smelling like roses. I'm sorry. You can defend yourself all you want that you didn't require them, but... No, we all know. Allegedly what you did.
Allegedly, guys.
Okay, so Pamela Anderson left Baywatch in 1997. And Mitch Buchanan at this point separates also in order to do Baywatch Nights.
Which is, he made it really... he made a really good choice. That was a good career. Such a good career move. The Hasselhoff made, because Baywatch Nights.
Best choice he ever made.
Is really good.
So he left to do, and actually Baywatch Nights lasted for 2 seasons, and he was moonlighting as a private detective in those seasons. And Michael Burke, the writer slash creator, said, and I quote, to Esquire, Baywatch never got that other time slot back. We were losing our channels. Our ratings were down. We were losing revenue and we had to cut budgets. So in 1998, facing the threat of cancellation, this is where Baywatch Hawaii comes into play. The 10th season, which is where Baywatch Hawaii starts, that's at that point was 1998. They were like, okay, we have to change how we're doing this. We're wasting too much money on production. We got to leave LA. So they decided originally to go to Australia. And so that's where they were going to extend this.
Is that where Allie comes in? Is that where they found Allie?
I'm guessing so. But they got met with a bunch of protesters who said they didn't want to have a Baywatch invasion down under. Like, they were like, this is our precious beaches. Because they have, like, Byron Bay, like, all those really beautiful white sandy beaches where surfers, all the Hemsworths live, so on and so forth.
All the Hemsworths are out there, all 20 of them, looking gorgeous, Hemsworth. Being sexy, being like, we don't want you down here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say that I blame the Australians for doing that, but, yeah. I mean.
So, that's when they changed their production midline and was like, okay, we're going to move to Hawaii. So they change, which to me doesn't, I don't think that's much cheaper than
imagine.
LA.
I mean, Hawaii was very expensive.
But I don't know. I don't know. So the last 2 seasons, as we know, were shot in Hawaii.
Season 10 and 11.
Hence the switch to Baywatch Hawaii. And they changed the lifeguard suits at that point to yellow because in Hawaii, the lifeguards wear yellow bathing suits.
Oh, so they actually did a little bit of research and did it.
So Bonin said, I like to mimic the real lifeguard uniform wherever we set the
show. It's based off of a real true story, as we learned earlier.
Yep. True. So here is the thing that this is part of this last fact, okay? And it makes me giggle because, as you know, we've covered Baywatch the Hawaiian Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of questions Mitch.
And Neely.
And, well, Mitch, mostly, like, because the last we see him is at the end of season 10.
True. Okay? He gets blown up.
So, this is what this says, and it made me laugh. Hasselhoff went along for the first of the Hawaiian season. So, there are 2 seasons set in Hawaii. He only participated in the first one. After deciding he was done, they re-edited the last episode of season 10 so that Mitch is presumed dead after an explosion. Michael Burke told Esquire, Hasselhoff didn't even know it. It was his own stunt guy that said, guess what? We've been killed off.
The Hoff didn't even know that the Hoff's show had been...
That he had been killed off his own show.
He had been killed off his own show.
And then the next sentence and paragraph says, yet, Mitch resurfaced alive and well in Baywatch Hawaiian Wedding.
Oh, so there's really no...
So there's literally no connector.
Oh, okay, because we were, like, diving in. Mm-hmm. We were like, what happened? Who saved him? Right. Nothing. Nope.
He doesn't come back during season 11. They never say what happened to him. all of a sudden he's sleeping in a room with Allison, who looks exactly like his dead fiance so just from to be like clear, 5 years previous.
Just to be clear, yes, because we our first season was Baywatch Hawaii season 10. And Mitch does blow up, but his perfectly preserved little wetsuit comes out, embroidered Buchanan. Mm-hmm. So literally his wet naked body slipped out of it, blew out of it. Mm-hmm. And everyone's, the entire elite team is thinking he's dead. And then without explanation, without
a whole season 11 happens without season, even a mention, nary a mention of the Hoff.
Everybody in Hawaii is again thinking he's dead. And then
what do you know?
He's in LA with Allison, who looks exactly like Stephanie from mm-hmm. season 7.
No exposition whatsoever.
Good. That's classic Baywatch. I like that. Yeah. They keep you on your toes.
But you know what? In a way, it kind of makes sense. Like, have you ever watched a really genius movie or TV show where, you know, like as a writer, they always say show, don't tell. And so you're not. Yeah, that's a.
Is it?
Okay.
Well, I'm not a writer.
I am.
I'm just a sex symbol and an extra that makes $20 million per show.
Power. She's a really great writer. She's a writer. She says show, don't tell. So, well, it is a general rule, and there are lots of writing books. Stephen King he writes a book called On Writing Well about how to structure stuff, and he always says show, don't tell. So you don't want to spend a ton of time on exposition mm-hmm. because you should just be writing it. It should just be part of the story, and mm-hmm. if it's told well, then you don't need to spend a ton of time explaining all the mm-hmm. plot lines. So in that way, the writers for Genius – for Baywatch are geniuses because they show don't tell. Like, you have no idea. There's no exposition. Things are just happening and too fast for you to question mm-hmm. them.
Yep. I'm just going to make a movie where it's all just the most random scenes mm-hmm. that don't connect together. You just have to make up your own mind.
Exactly. It's art. So that was a list that we decided we would share with you because it was lots of cool stuff because that's all.
That's really cool. I mean, some of that stuff blew me away. Some of it, I could have presumed.
I think the title was accurate. It bonkers. Was bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, you never realize what people have to do for movies and stuff. Like, all that goes into it. Like, I watched this thing the other day where that guy from The Pianist.
Adrian Brody?
Yes. He was in a movie, not The Pianist, but something similar. Mm-hmm. And he, like, literally moved to another place and lived as a poverty-stricken European for 1 year.
A year?
Yes, to get into character. For his spot, it's what is it like acting. Method acting or whatever.
You just pretend.
He just like engrossed himself in the character. And like, what's his name? Freaking Jared Leto put like horse heads on people's pillows when they woke up for the Joker.
Was being melodramatic about
my God, Jared Leto, you look amazing.
Jared Leto, you are, oh my God, there's probably no one more perfect looking than you except Jason Momoa.
Cadence was also upset. Hey, I agree. He pushed it. But Cadence is also upset with Jared Leto because he played Jordan Catalano in My So-Called Life.
Just the way he leans.
Do
you remember?
Oh, those flannels and that shirt.
When Claire Danes just is like, I just like the way he leans on stuff.
It was very teenage.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And he wore one of those real tight chokers.
He did?
Mm-hmm. That's just like one string. The guys would wear them. No decorations, no shells, just one strip of like leather tied around your neck.
Really? Mm-hmm. I prefer mine to be hemp with hookah with big old hookah shells. And I wanted to spell the name.
Did you mean puka shells?
Puka shells. I knew that didn't sound right. I was like, hookah shells doesn't sound right. Puka shells. Yeah, so anyway, people have to do crazy things. So that is wild to learn the behind-the-scenes secrets of this show.
I mean, as extras who earn a really good living,
we do
kind
know
of
a lot about it. Yeah, we're in the industry.
But really, stuff that, like, that's only on shows and movies we've been a part of. We weren't old enough for Baywatch. So, like, these are things we didn't know because
I mean,
it wasn't.
1998, I think, is when I was born. Right. So, yeah, it makes sense. And Cadence was born in, like, 97, I think. So, yeah, it makes. We weren't just old enough, but we appreciate it.
Right.
So we
wanted to learn all these ancient facts of a time in distant history.
One time I had to be an extra on a movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and I had to strip down and spread my cheeks.
Right.
Because they needed to know if I was if I had any deformities on my body.
Right. They were like, we are not even letting you in the frame with Jason Segel until we know
until
what's
you
under
can prove
that shirt.
That you don't have lesions on your bowl. And I was like, okay, this seems like part of the process, so I did it.
Feels legit.
I literally ask questions. That's another.
I never do.
That's
my life motto.
That's not. That's also another rule. You never don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions.
Just do.
That's how we ended up here that's with this podcast.
Don't ask, just do. And someone said you should do this, and I said no questions.
I'm not even gonna ask. I'm gonna do it.
Well, we hope you guys enjoy.
Now we're just gonna do it and leave.
Okay, bye. We're gone. Ow. Kaden just hit her head so hard because she was so excited about leaving. Oh no, she's dying. So we're really happy that you joined us for this little.
I'm suing you for all of your $20 million.
This was fun. I like this. We're having fun. Anyway, we hope you guys had a good time and we hope you learned a little bit about Baywatch. And because it really, regardless if you watched it or you didn't, it's a quintessential staple of like pop culture for the 90s. Yeah. It like defined.
Trust us, your life will be richer for having learned these bonkers facts.
It defined a lot. So we appreciate it. You're welcome. All right. Well, bye guys. Bye. See you next time.
We're going to go through. There's the actual article is called 30 Bonkers Secrets About Baywatch.
Bonkers Baywatch.
I may not read all 30, but I will definitely read my favorites.
Just give us the juicy ones. Just give us the real juice.
I mean, it's Baywatch, so it's all sweet nectar.
Slap me.
I already did today.
Ew, that kitty. That was, I am genuinely grossed out. That was weird. This is for sure being cut, and I'm not just joking. That was sick. I was sick. People already are questioning our relationship after the leaky submarine. Like,
you guys
have a very weird relationship.
Oh my god. I meant it like I've already been irritated with you today and I slapped you. I didn't mean
it. Well, you said it way different. I already did that today. Like, that is so sick.
Just a race.
We're freaking brother and sister. We're freaking mother and sister. I'm like,
oh. Just erase it.
Well, we're gonna edit that one out, but
we'll start it over. It doesn't matter at this point.